Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Joel Katz. Each week, we examine a different health topic. And this week, if you or a family member suffers from headaches, hopefully the information we share will help. Joining us today is JFK Medical Center's Dr. Imad Noor. Dr. Noor is well-trained in neurological diseases, board-certified in neurology and clinical neurophysiology. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
How are you today? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. Thanks for being here. I'd like to start, I usually like to start with learning a little bit more about our guests. So if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you, you know, when did you decide that this was the path that you would take, and how did you make that happen? How did you get to where you are today? 22 years you've been a doctor, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. actually, I decided to be a doctor since I was in high school, studying biology and neuroscience. So went to medical school. I always liked to study the brain physiology, the brain anatomy, always fascinating me how many tracts we have in our brains, how many centers, being around in people. So I started my medical school in Egypt. I finished my medical school over there, and I finished neurology residency over there.
Okay.
Then when I moved to U.S. in 2006, I decided to complete, to start over. You know, when you move to U.S., you have to start from the beginning. So I took my neurology residency again and finished residency, and I took my board in neurology and clinical neurophysiology, and I have always special interest in headaches, and I'm treating headache patients for more than 5 years now.
Okay. Now, I just want to ask you one question about that. You mentioned when you come to the U.S., if you get a degree in another country, when you come to the U.S., you need to start over. You don't need to start completely over. What is it? You need to take the boards again?
No, actually, I need to start over. Not medical school. I did, like, exams to equalize my medical degree. So after I finish my exam, so these exams have to be taken by any medical students after finishing medical school.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah. And then I have to retake my residency. So I finished my residency already. So I'm double residency in neurology.
I got you. Okay. And again, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start simple with the headaches. If you ask me what a headache is, I'd say, well, it's a pain in the head. You know, I've learned that it's a nervous system disorder, but probably get a better, more detailed answer if I ask you. So when someone asks you, hey, what's a headache? What's your response?
Actually, you're absolutely right. So headaches is two words, like head and ache. So it's like ache in the head. So it's pain in the head. So any pain in the head can be defined as headache.
Okay, right. All right, so there is no lengthy explanation, medical explanation then. Okay, I thought there would be. All right. But like any pain, you know, it's usually like a warning that something's not right, correct?
Yes, but not always.
Okay.
I know people get scared when they have headache, because the first thing to think about it, do I have something serious like brain tumor or stroke or whatever? But actually, the majority of headaches are benign, meaning there is no underlying cause. And these types of headaches, we call them primary headaches.
Primary, okay.
Yes. So the primary headaches are the headaches that are not caused by any underlying disease in the brain.
Okay.
So they are specific diseases, but not caused by another etiology, like not caused by brain tumor, not caused by infection in the brain, not caused by stroke. But they are syndromes, like as if you are having diabetes, and diabetes is coming alone without any cause, so you're having headaches without any underlying serious condition. And luckily, these types of headaches compose about 98% of the headaches in the population. The serious headaches, on contrast, we call them secondary headaches,
okay,
are coming because of underlying condition in the brain, like brain tumors, like vascular problem like stroke or blood clot in the brain, or because of inflammation or infection. So the secondary types of headaches comprise only 2% of all headaches.
Okay,
so not always the headaches are serious problem. It is annoying problem. It is very common problem in U.S. and in the whole world. But not always it is a serious condition.
Okay, so for the ones that are not serious, the 98%, there are different reasons for getting them. You don't get them for no reason. I guess you can get one from banging your head, of course. But, you know, is diet a factor? Is exercise a factor?
So there is no clear reason for the primary headaches, but genes play a major role. So you can find headaches running in one family.
Oh, it's hereditary.
It's for sure. It is hereditary.
Oh, okay.
I don't think diet can cause one person to have a headache, but some diets can induce migraine, for example. And certain people, not every people, like, for example, you can eat Chinese food and you don't have headaches. And another person can eat Chinese food and have headache.
Wow.
Some people might be a little bit sensitive to red wine or chocolate or old cheese, like any tyramine-containing food. So some people, not all people, when they eat certain foods might get migraine, for example.
Right.
So diet can play a role, but the major role is hereditary. For some reason, also, there are some chemical changes in the brain, some overactivation or overstimulation of certain chemical substance naturally happening in our brain and some people and can induce or can trigger headache.
Okay, so what about, like, if you don't, like, sometimes someone might not have something to eat for a while and that could cause a headache. Like, they didn't have time to eat and they have a headache from, or maybe that, can you get headaches from not getting the right nutrients?
That's right. Of course, anyone that doesn't eat regularly in certain times can get headache. But I don't call this headache like a disease. Like, I don't call it migraine unless it becomes a pattern and has other features that we can define migraine or other types of primary headaches. So that's why we commonly advise the patient. So like common sense instructions in order to try to control your headaches. So you have to eat in regular times. You have to sleep in regular times. You have to decrease the screen time. Nowadays, all of us looking for screens for a long time.
Yeah.
Looking for screens can strain our eye muscles and can induce headaches. Stress is a major factor of getting headaches as well. And stress can cause muscle spasm and tension in the muscles of the head and the neck, and giving us the most common type of headaches. We call it tension-type headaches.
Tension,
so a lot of life factors, a lot of changes in our lifestyles can give us headaches or can control headaches as well.
Are there different names for headaches, or you just would say that's a stress headache? Like, how many different, are there different types of headaches, or are there too numerous to mention all of them?
Too many, but primarily, as I said, we classify according to the International Classification of Headache Disorders, edition 3. So we have primary headaches and we have secondary headaches. So these are the two major categories of headaches.
Okay.
Primary headaches involve migraine, tension type of headache.
Okay.
Another type of headache, we call it trigeminal autonomic cephalgia or trigeminal nerve types of headache.
Who gives you a headache just trying to say that?
Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, the third part is a little bit medically complicated name.
Yeah.
So these are the primary headaches. Few names, but they are the majority of our of the population headaches.
Okay. So let's. Okay.
Yeah.
So the migraine.
I want to say the secondary headaches. 2% of headaches can result from any, like, head trauma, as you said, bang your head.
Right.
And concussion can give you headache. If you have blood clot in the brain, can give you a headache. If you have tumor, if you have infection, if you have inflammation of the blood vessels, if you have, like, ear problem, like infection in the ear, if you have toothache, if you have nose problem, eye problem, so any problem in the head or in the neck can give headaches. So we call all of the other all of the headaches that come because of another disease, secondary headache.
So let's talk about, I want to talk, you mentioned migraines a couple of times. You also mentioned aneurysms, but let's start with the migraine. What causes a migraine? How is a migraine different than other headaches? You said it's a primary, it's not a secondary, but sometimes it can look like other things, right? It could be like a sinus issue or something like that? Not really?
But there are differences. So the migraines, usually in order to say the person has a migraine, it has to have a pattern. Like this headache is happening more than once, like at least five times in his life or her life. Migraine headache typically involves one side of the headache, as opposed to the sinus headache is not one-sided. Usually sinus headache is involves the whole head.
Okay.
Usually the migraine headache, the feature of the pain is different than the sinus. So
no, I didn't know that. See, now I always thought, I don't get migraine headaches, but I always thought that a migraine was the whole head.
Actually, I said typically. Typically, one-sided, okay. It might involve the whole head. But as a definition, migraine, it involves one side of the, the head. And the type of pain you get, like throbbing or pulsating headaches.
Right.
And sinus headache is not throbbing. Usually you feel as if your head is going to explode, especially when you bend over.
Okay.
Migraine usually is associated with other symptoms like sensitivity to light. When you have migraine, you don't want to the light on. You want to stay in a dark room. And when you have migraine, you don't tolerate any noise around you. So you have to shut the doors, and you want to lay down on the bed.
Okay.
With migraine, you feel nauseous, and some people might throw up. And this doesn't happen with a sinus headache. Sinus headache was also, you might have symptoms like runny nose, post-nasal drips, coughing, tenderness over the sinuses. So it is different. It might look similar from outside view, but not similar when the doctor sees the patient.
Okay. Talking with Dr. Imad Noor, JFK Medical Center, and we're talking about headaches. Are there headaches that require immediate attention?
Correct. So we always say if you notice any red flags, you have to see the doctors immediately.
Okay.
There is a mnemonic usually I use, and many literatures use, the word SNOOP, S-N-O-O-P.
Okay.
And SNOOP stands for systemic symptoms or signs.
Okay.
N is neurological symptoms or signs. O is onset, sudden onset. O is older onset, like if the headache starts to happen around the age of 50 or older.
Okay.
Or P is pattern change. So
pattern
if
change.
You notice the with your headache, systemic symptoms like having temperature elevation, like fever, started to have chills, rash, skin rash, muscle pain, night sweat, weight loss, or if you have underlying systemic disease like HIV, or if it happens in a pregnant lady or in the period after delivery. So any symptoms during systemic symptoms, so you have to be concerned about another reason. And if you have any neurological symptoms like change in mental status, you became lethargic, you started to have double vision.
Okay, with a headache.
With the headache, yeah. You started to have like a ringing in the ears. You started to have one-sided decreased sensation, like tingling or numbness in one arm and one leg.
Right, that could be scary.
Face. You started to have weakness. Then you have to be concerned there is something causing this headache serious, like tumor or stroke.
Mm-hmm.
If you never had a headache in your life and suddenly you started to have bad headaches, especially severe headache, some people describe it, this is the worst headache of my life. And sometimes they call it thunderclap headache. So you
thunderclap.
Have to be concerned.
Okay.
If the headache started in older people, 50 or old, then you have to be concerned. The whole life, no headaches, and then now started to have headaches. So
okay.
This is something to be concerned about. Or there is a pattern change in the headache. So, you know, since your teen or your young age, you're having a specific headache. Now the headache started to become more frequent, more severe, or induced by, for example, standing, or triggered by sleeping. So these are the red flags that you have to worry about. This headache may have underlying serious conditions.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of flags. So, it's a lot of red flags.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned aneurysms earlier. Can people have them without symptoms? And they're scary because I'm sure everybody's heard of someone who has aneurysm. They seem just fine, and then they just die from it. And not everyone dies from it. I understand that, but it just seems like I've known a few people in my life that they just fell to the floor, and that was the end. And they found out later it was an aneurysm. Are there any signs? Or are there times when there are no signs?
Yeah, so unfortunately, if you have aneurysm, it might not present until it is too late. And most of the time, aneurysm does not cause headache. Many times we discover this patient has aneurysm when the patient comes with the worst headache of his life or her life. I have a thunderclap headache, never had it before. And when we do a scan, we find blood in the brain, so the aneurysm popped up and ruptured, and it is too late sometimes to treat the aneurysm. So, it is scary, but if you have a family history of aneurysm, especially in first-degree relative, like in your father, your mother, one of your siblings, it's always good to ask your doctor to evaluate you and see if you have any signs, neurological signs. Like, for example, if the aneurysm is close to one of the eye nerves, it can give you double vision. So this is the time to ask the doctor, the doctor sees it is appropriate to scan you for presence of aneurysm. But unfortunately, sometimes it is silent until it is too late.
So I wouldn't know, and today, I'm not trying to panic anybody, but what can I do? Could you just get a random MRI just to check?
No. If you have family history of aneurysm,
that would be it. Okay.
It's reasonable to be scanned for aneurysm, but general population, most of the time they don't have aneurysm, and there is no reason to panic about aneurysm unless you have red flags like signs of like change in your sensation in one side of the body. If you have double vision, if you have ringing in the ears, if you have
you mentioned all that
weakness.
But you also said you can it could happen without anything, right?
The aneurysm it might happen without anything.
Yeah.
But this is not a guideline to scan all population for aneurysm.
Right, I know that's crazy, right?
There is no guidelines to scan. Like, for example, in breast cancer, so there are guidelines to scan every woman after the age of 40. You have to scan for looking for breast cancer. But there are no such guidelines to scan every person for aneurysm, unless there is family history or some neurological symptoms or signs.
Okay, I don't mean to go on and on about it, but what if someone came to you, and maybe they're a little bit of a hypochondriac, maybe not.
Yeah.
But they came to you and said, listen, I don't have any symptoms. It doesn't run in my family. But I just want to be sure that I don't have an aneurysm. How do you deal with a patient like that?
I try to assure the patient, try to educate the patient. It is not a common medical condition. So, but if the patient is very anxious or hypochondriac, I'll order MRI or I order what we call it, MRA. If many times the insurance will refuse, will decline the test because there is no guidelines to order MRI for a patient that is completely headache-free, doesn't have any neurological symptoms, doesn't have a family history.
Right, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. So when someone just has your regular, run-of-the-mill, everyday headache, let's say, there's so many different types of medications for headaches. Is there a specific over-the-counter medication that you recommend?
It's different from one person to another. So some persons, they respond excellently to Excedrin or Tylenol or ibuprofen, Advil, Motrin. So whatever helps you doesn't necessarily help others. So I don't have any specific recommendation. You try and see, and this is true for all headache medications. Even if you come with migraine and over-the-counter medications are not helping you, mm-hmm. I'll never know this medicine will help you or not unless I try and see your response first.
Right. So if I get a headache and I need to try something, I could start with Tylenol. If that doesn't work, I could switch to Excedrin. That's what you're saying. Just experiment with the over-the-counter.
Exactly. But also I want to mention, if you have frequent headaches, mm-hmm. taking over-the-counter medications frequently, more than 3 times a week, yeah. might induce a headache itself.
That could cause a headache.
Yeah, and this is what we call a rebound headache or medication overuse headache. So if you feel your headaches are frequent, don't overuse over-the-counter medications, because this itself, one type of headache, we call it rebound headache or medication overuse headache. So your body becomes as if the body gets used or addicted to over-the-counter medication. So you take ibuprofen, Tylenol every day, and the headache will subside. But next day, the headache will come again, and it becomes a vicious cycle.
Right, and then you need to take more and more. If you keep doing that, you're going to need to take more and more and more in order for it to work. And that's
exactly.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you feel the headache is frequent, happening more than 2 times a week, and you feel that you're taking more than 2 times a week over-the-counter medication, this is the time to see the doctor.
Right. It's time to give you a call.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's like that with any ailment, I would imagine. Stomach aches, any type of back pain or anything like that. If you're taking medication, you're just masking a bigger problem.
That's correct.
Yeah. So are there any new treatments to mention? Is there anything in regards to treatment advances? And I guess when I talk about advances, I'm talking about the secondary headaches, the 2%.
Actually, there are advances in the medications for the primary headache rather
okay.
than the secondary headache, because the treatment of the secondary headache, the 2%, is the treatment of underlying condition. So if you have headache because of infection, so you'll get antibiotics and the infection will go away and the mm-hmm. headache will go away. If you have inflammation, you take steroids, for example, like inflammation of the blood vessels, and so on. Brain tumor, you have to take the tumor out. But we have advances in treatment of primary headache, especially migraine. Every day we have new medications coming for migraine. Now we have a new group of medications. I'm sure you see many people see commercials.
Oh, yeah.
About Nurtec, about Gibril. I don't want to say names, but you mm-hmm. see commercials about different class of or different new drugs for headaches. So we have huge advancement in primary headache medications, especially migraine.
Okay, so if they see something on TV, it always says ask your doctor, right? And then
yeah,
you would say if this is good for their condition or not.
Yes,
yeah.
And of course we don't jump to the new medications first. We have to try the old medications because they are cheaper mm-hmm. and well known. So usually we use the new medications if the patient fails to respond to the old medication.
All right. Well, Dr. Noor, thank you so much for taking the time. Dr. Imad Noor, JFK Medical Center. You can reach Dr. Noor at 732-321-7010. That's 732-321-7010, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And receptionist, glad to take your call, and we'll book your appointment to see me as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Once again, Dr. Imad Noor, and you can reach him at 732-321-7010 with JFK Medical Center. This has been JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. For a podcast of this program or any previous programs, just go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. That's foxsportsradionewjersey.com. Make it a great day.